You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. The Chicago Cubs have had uncommon good luck in years ending in 08, 1908 to be exact, the last time, as we all know, the Cubs won the World Series. And that number, 108, is recurring again and again and again, which could be an omen of good things to come and finally put an end to their unprecedented futility. The anticipation is palatable for Cubs fans and perhaps for millions of baseball fans who empathetically feel that enough is enough. Ground zero for Cubs fans in Chicago is Harry Carey's Restaurant, whose president and managing director may be the world's leading expert in Cubs numerology. And we are so happy to welcome Ted Randall's Talking Baseball, Grant DePorter. Grant, great to have you. My goodness, there's so much history between you and the Chicago Cubs. First, before we talk about the numbers, by way of historical perspective, you bought the ill-fated Steve Bartman ball from the 2003 playoffs at auction in order to blow it up and provide cleansing effects. And after all these years, finally, Grant, that may work.
Well, I think, right. I think that was kind of the moment where all the crazy 8s and 108s started appearing. And I bought the baseball for $114,000 in the end of 2003, just the idea of involving Cub fans and destroying it, but kind of like a cathartic process. And I got 20,000 letters from fans within a week, all with their different ideas. And one of them was from Michael Antieri, who won the Academy Award for Jurassic Park for Best Special Effects. And he gave me his studio in Hollywood, and we practiced different things. And, you know, we blew up the baseball during the Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey that we do every year, February 26, 2004. But, you know, part of that was I had friends with the Red Sox and friends with the White Sox, and I go, hey, I'm going to wipe out your curses, too, at the same time. So people actually flew in from Boston dressed in Red Sox gear, and I put them up on stage. And what happened? The Red Sox won the World Series that year.
Right.
And the thing that was unique about that is, you know, they'd gone 86 years, but they won their final 8 games in a row, which had never happened
right.
in baseball history. So that's the first 8 you see. The next year, the White Sox win the World Series after 88 years, and they win the final 8 games in a row. You know, that's the second time that's ever happened, and it hasn't happened since. So I kind of started picking up on those 8s. And even the ball itself, that foul ball play, was in the 8th inning, and 8 runs scored from the Florida Marlins. So I started seeing 8s and 8s and 8s, and it was almost like a countdown. So I wrote a book called Hoodoo, Unraveling the 100-Year Mystery of the Chicago Cubs. I published it in 2008. In there, it described what happened last year with Daniel Murphy and the curse of Murphy's Law. I was the one that kind of wrapped all anything bad that's been happening to Cubs. Murphy was involved going back to 1908. But the book also said that the Cubs would win in the 108th year, you know, 108, and that's this year. And I noticed that everywhere you look, 108 is there. There's 108 stitches in a baseball, which was, you know, designed by A.G. Spaulding, the Cubs' first manager and star pitcher. He founded the National League and put a rule in the rule book: you could only use his baseballs. And his office was at 108 West Madison.
Wow.
The left field and right field foul poles at Wrigley Field are 108 meters from home plate. The city of Chicago has 1,336 plan development numbers assigned to large-scale developments in the city of Chicago. Each one's got their own unique number. 108 belongs to Wrigley Field, and it just keeps going and going. You know, the Cubs, you know, they win the World Series in the movies Take Me Out, Taking Care of Business, and Back to the Future 2. They both win the World Series in those movies. Both movies are 108 minutes long. You know, the Ricketts family made all their money at TD Ameritrade in Omaha, Nebraska. Their corporate headquarters is located on 108 Street in Omaha. So,
and the number, and the number,
season when it started, you know, game one, Javi Baez hit the home run off, Giants Cueto at an 108th pitch, and I actually told everyone at Wrigley that was going to happen, and I videotaped the moment, said he's going to hit the home run on pitch 108, and I videotaped Baez knocking it out of the park. Everyone went nuts.
Wow. And the number 108 figured in the very construction of Wrigley Field.
Well, right, in multiple ways, and not just the plan development number and the left field and right field poles being 108 feet away or 108 meters from home plate. But you remember, the Wrigley Field was last to get lights to do night games. They were 40 years behind everyone else. And
in 1988.
The EPA was stopping the Cubs from having games at night, saying it would be too loud, and noise pollution. And so they had to sue and went to the Supreme Court. That lawsuit number was volume number 108 in the Supreme Court report.
We're with Grant DePorter, the world's leading expert in Cubs numerology. He's the president and managing director of Harry Carey's restaurant. The first World Series game at Wrigley Field was on...
Right, yeah, 10-8, October 8th, so 108. And a lot of people thought it would be earlier, but it was 1929 because before that they played at Comiskey Park because it was bigger at the time. The last time the Cubs won a World Series game was on 108, 10-8, 1945. They won on 10-8 this year. Kyle Hendricks. Give you a couple more. John Lester, the starting pitcher, was born in Tacoma, Washington, the 108th largest city in America. And then Kyle Hendricks was born on December 7th, 1989. 12 plus 7 plus 89 equals 108.
Wow.
If you noticed, Lester's last game, he pitched exactly 108 pitches to win. So it's just kind of, it's everywhere you look, you can't get away from it. It's just a real sign that this is the year for Cubs.
This is it.
It takes 108 outs to win the NLCS. It takes 108 outs to win the World Series. So... it just seems like everything you go. The World Series trophy made of silver. The atomic weight of silver is 108.
Ugh, wow. And the first pitch, Grant, for postseason games takes place at local time.
1908.
Military time, 1908. Local time at 7:08. You could go on for days about this stuff.
it's really unlimited. It's everywhere you look. I mean, like when they win the games... They won the game in L.A. It was 10. They won. It was scored 10 runs, and they led by eight runs. So it was 10-8 there. And then they had the two games they won. The first time they scored 10 runs. The second game they scored 8 runs. 10-8.
Wow. In preparation for your book for Voodoo, you piled through 4-foot-high stacks of papers from 1908, looking for mystical clues to this incredible drought. How long did that take, and what did you find?
Well, it took years. Back then they didn't have TV and radio and everything. Everyone got their information from newspapers. Chicago had about 5 major daily publications, and I had the largest newspaper collection in Chicago. And I went through each paper day by day to see what happened. A lot of people think it was 1945 with the curse of the Billy Goat, and I'm like, they haven't won since 1908. Something had to happen then. And at that moment, I realized it was Charles Murphy, the owner of the Chicago Cubs. He was a hated man. The players didn't
players
like him.
Players hated him, right.
Him.
Yeah.
And so the players won the World Series, and they went out to dinner to celebrate, but they refused to let Charles Murphy go. So he wrote an open letter into the papers, slamming the fans, the players, and everybody, and said, it takes a long time, to get ready for Rome was not built in a day, and it takes a long time, even in Chicago, to get ready for a World Series. And at that moment, I realized every time the Cubs had a major collapse or a problem, a Murphy was involved. The Billy Goat in 1945 was named Murphy. In 1969, when the Cubs were playing the Mets, those were known as Murphy's Mets after Johnny Murphy, the GM, and Bob Murphy, the announcer. Then in 1984, the Cubs are up 2-0 against the San Diego Padres.
In a best of five.
Just one more game. And they lose 3 games in a row at Jack Murphy Stadium. And then 2003, the Padres move out of Jack Murphy Stadium. Bob Murphy retires from the Mets. And by coincidence, strange coincidence, Bob Murphy and Jack Murphy were brothers. Harvard University does the first ever Ig Nobel Prize for the creation of Murphy's Law, which means anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And then last year we went up against Daniel Murphy from the Mets. He hits home runs in every game, bats something like 529, and you know, sweeps the Cubs. So the whole Murphy's Law thing was in place last year. But in 1908, they showed Cub fans looking at the stars to see the future. And there's a, you know, they thought they could predict the Cubs' outcomes. And there's a picture in Hoodoo of a Cub fan looking at the sun and the moon, the earth, earth covered with baseball stitches, and the star Arcturus. Well, you might not know it, but the sun is 108 times bigger than the earth. The distance between the sun and the earth is 108 times the diameter of the sun. The distance between the moon and the earth is 108 times the diameter of the moon. The first manned space flight around the world took exactly 108 minutes. You know, there's 108 stitches in the baseball, which is also in the cartoon. And Arcturus, the star, in Greek means bear watcher, and it's looking at the Great Bear constellation and the Lesser Bear constellation. Well, the center of the Great Bear constellation is galaxy M108.
Wow. Grant DePorter is with us. He is the president and managing director of the Harry Caray Restaurant Group, and he may be the world's leading expert in Cubs numerology. And when you look back at 1908, that team won, apparently, Grant, despite many obstacles, including a conspiracy called, quote, a good of the league policy, unquote, and then Murphy disbanded his championship team that he had built.
Right, he just did not like. He didn't like the players being so popular. He didn't like, you know, the fans being so organized and cheering. And he just kind of dismantled everything. His ego just couldn't handle it. He, ironically, you know, he did eight seasons with the Cubs as president and owner until he was forced out of baseball. The Tribune, Chicago Tribune, that wrote about his, you know, leaving the Cubs and he's selling the team and out. That paper was exactly 108 pages long.
Oh, my goodness. You think about the guys that preceded Joe Maddon in the dugout, thinking they were going to be the guy. It was going to be Dusty Baker. It was going to be Lou Piniella. And Lou coined a term, Grant, that will be etched in Cub history. He called it Cubby Occurrences and said that the team was trying to distance itself from what he called the 100-year thing. Well, now the 100-year thing may finally come to an end.
Right, and well, in my lifetime, I've never seen a better Cubs team. You know, Joe Maddon has got everyone loose and relaxed, and you see it. And it's very exciting for Cub fans these days because it feels like, I mean, sometimes when in the past when we got into the playoffs, it felt like maybe this is just a fluke, or you know, we'll just maybe win 1 year and that would be it. This team looks like it could go on for years. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. But you know, this whole 108 thing, you know, Cub fans are coming out of the woodworks, embracing this and adding their own 108s because it's a lot of positive energy. It's pretty much saying all the past is over because really it was scary. You know, every game I watch, it's just something. You know, like Billy Corgan was at Harry Caray. He was the lead singer with Smashing Pumpkins and was with Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire. And, you know, Billy was noticing John Lester's pitch count, and he knew exactly that we'd win in advance. He said Lester's going to pitch 108 pitches, and he did. And everyone just kind of seeing this. Joel Murray, Bill Murray's brother, has been at the restaurant like for every game to watch, and he wanted his 108, and we figured out that he was born April 17th. Well, April 17th in 2016 is the 108th day of the year, so
oh,
he
my
felt
goodness.
Magical himself. And he's been coming just rooting on with the fans. The energy is unreal, and it just feels like, you know, this is it. We're finally here.
And if they close the deal, your patron Harry Caray would say what?
If they finally close, well, Cubs win with massive exclamation points, a giant holy cow, and I can't imitate Harry. I wish I could. Holy cow! You know, but it'd be a lot of tears and celebration, a lot of Budweiser celebration, a lot of drinks. And, I mean, it will be the biggest moment in sports history, I think, in the entire world. You know, when we were the Ryder Cup headquarters in 2012, our restaurant in Harry Caray's in Lombard, And the head of Scotland comes in the final day. His name is Alex Salmond, his first prime minister. And I was introducing myself, and he said he knew exactly who I was. And I go, well, how is that? Well, he watched everyone in Scotland, he said, watched me blow up the baseball in 2004. And he said, if that was going to help the Cubs win, they have the Hibernian Football Club hasn't won the Scottish Cup since 1902. So they were going to blow up something there to help them. But you said everyone watches the Cubs. The Cubs story is a global story.
Without a doubt. Not just this globe, but also into space, I believe. See, I believed cynically when it looked like it could possibly be the Cubs and the Red Sox in 2003 in the World Series. I thought, boy, that wouldn't that be something? And then I had this apocalyptic feeling that they would both be at 3-3, playing the seventh game of the World Series in the seventh inning, tied up, and then the earth would open up and we would never find out whose curse would end first.
Well, yeah, right. It is a mini version of that if the Cubs play Cleveland, because then, Cleveland has got the second longest drought after the Cubs.
They're youngsters in comparison to you guys.
Yeah, 68 years versus 108
nothing.
Years. There's
yeah, exactly.
a 40 years
difference. Yeah, there's nothing. You would think, and I've said this for years, you would think that the Cubs just would have backed into one by accident. Over all of this, as Jack Brickhouse said, famously, anybody can have a bad century. You would have thought that just somehow they would have won one.
Well, you would have thought, especially earlier in, because baseball has expanded since the old days. So it's just the odds are astronomical, about how long this has gone. It's mind-boggling. But that's why a lot of fans think there is some kind of spiritual aspect to it, and it's finally here. Because you can't fathom 108 years. And so in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like that. I'm partners with Marv Levy. He's, Hall of Fame Buffalo Bill head coach. And he was actually at Game 7 of the last World Series in 1945. He just got back from World War II, went straight to Wrigley. And so I hear the stories from him, but I cannot comprehend actually the Cubs being in the World Series because it just I've never seen it. So this year is about as exciting as it possibly can be.
Like in Curse of the Bambino, done so very well, and then the sequel after the Red Sox won the 2004 World Series, Reverse of the Curse of the Bambino on HBO both times, people went to cemeteries with whiskey bottles, with hats, with pennants, with gloves, to see their forebears, to let them know that now they could rest in peace. One gets the sense that will absolutely be happening with Cubs fans.
Yeah. At different times, I've seen beer cans end up in the Harry Carey's statue, almost some kind of like a sacrifice to the gods. and it was happening a lot. And I said, well, that's fine. I think Harry would appreciate mostly if it was Budweiser, but... people definitely are, I'm wearing those beads that you see, in yoga or Buddhism, Hindu, like the Dalai Lama. There is exactly 108 beads on those, and it's because it's a very spiritual number, too. So Dutchie Carey, Harry Carey's widow, myself, and most of the managers at the restaurant have beads on that have 108 beads. You're supposed to count your mantras and do, 108 mantras. Since Joe Madden's mantra is try not to suck, I've been doing try not to suck 108 times on my mantras.
Win or lose, you promise me you'll be back on the show.
Okay, absolutely. Hopefully with some kind of celebration to talk about.
Absolutely, and even if you're hungover, I'll understand. Grant, thank you so much. So that'll do it for Grant Porter and myself on MLB.com. If you are on the move, thanks for the ride and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. We'll